going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices and give you a 5-year price guarantee on talk, text, and data. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
B. Mitch and Finley, 106.7 The Fan. It is high noon in the District of Columbia, where the Washington Commanders just took a tackle. A tackle from the University of Oregon.
Oregon. That is
where James Crepia lives and covers the Oregon Ducks for the Oregonian. James, what's up, man? Thanks for making time for us.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me on, guys.
Appreciate you.
Let's start. What do we know about this kid? It seems like there's a lot to be excited about with young Mr. Connerly.
Yeah, well, you hear about, obviously, you know, for college fans who don't, or excuse me, for NFL fans who don't necessarily follow the college game that closely and all that, so you get into first-round picks, and every year you hear about all the five stars and that kind of stuff. Well, but that's who Josh Connerly is. He was one of the top offensive tackles 3 years ago, and he came out of the Northwest. Obviously, he was from Seattle, and he was heavily coveted all over the country, could have gone virtually anywhere. And at the end, it was coming down to Oregon and Ohio State mainly. Washington was involved, SC was involved, and it was a big deal here because Dan Lanning in his first year, it was the transition from Cristobal to Lanning in that December, and Lanning and his staff really didn't get in place until January, and Connerly waited all the way till April, and that was the first five-star of the Lanning era, and it was a huge deal, and it was getting him out of Seattle and the rivalry that was. And, oh, yeah, by the way, when you come in with all of that, you're expected to reach this level. You're expected to be this first-round pick.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the significance to this region and to this fan base and what matters. But then he met it. He met at every stage of the way. He played as a true freshman, actually caught a touchdown as freshman.
Wow.
They created a personnel package simply to get him on the field. And it was 14 personnel where he was, they call an extra tight end, it was literally 14J or 14 Josh. To get him out there. And if you go back and watch the 22 Oregon-Colorado game, that was pre-Dion Colorado. So that was the epically bad Colorado. And, yes, he caught a touchdown in that game. But he's been that guy. And then he was the starter the past 2 years at left tackle. And, like I say, played obviously extremely, extremely well, lived up to all of the hype, all of the potential, and that's how you can leave early and be a first-round pick as he was and have all the teams really in the last 5 to 10 picks of the first round were teams that he had either formals with or had top 30 visits with.
This team seemed to like want to get a lot of character guys. What type of person is he?
Top of the list. Mm-hmm. And look, I'm not a fan. I'm not from here. I didn't go to school here. I'm not some homer at all. No, this is a guy who you hear from everybody in the room. You hear from every coach. You hear from every teammate about. You hear things like cerebral from an offensive lineman. You hear about how much extra time he's spending. You hear from the offensive coordinator here, Will Stein, and Dan Lanning, that Josh could play almost any position, athletically gifted enough to where he could play almost any position on the field, and the OC says even quarterback, and not kidding. Mm-hmm. By way of understanding of the offense, yeah, like he spends that much more time. He cares to know that much more about everything that's going on, not just his blocking assignment. And you could say, well, he overloads himself. No. He wants to understand the game at that level. He cares about it at that level. He cares about his craft at that level. So, and then you add in the character bits and all the rest. No, this is, like I say, from all accounts, really an upstanding young man and really an upstanding football player.
Wow. All right. This is a serious endorsement for this young man. Also super durable, right? Hasn't missed a game in 3 years.
Yeah. Yeah. Like I say, now it helps to be his size too.
He's
usually the one inflicting the pain and the damage, but or walling it off from two Heisman finalist quarterbacks. That helps. He's been, like I say, they created a personnel package for him as a freshman, got him out there a whole bunch when they could. And for that matter, not just, I mentioned the touchdown catch, which was amusing, but also ran him out there as a 2-point conversion as a running back.
Wow.
And had him, try, which again, hard to stop a man that size in short yardage. So it wasn't quite the tush-push, but they come up with another name for it. But yeah, they found out different ways to get him the ball, if need be. And it worked, it worked out well. So no, like I say, really athletically gifted. And look, I'm not going to say raw by any stretch of the imagination as a lineman, but does he still have room to grow? Absolutely. And I know everybody is going to way freak out about the one rep at the Senior Bowl at right tackle against the nation's leader in sacks. It was his first rep at right tackle, not just of the day, I think in years, because he was a left tackle here. Mm-hmm. And then, by the way, like one rep later, then he stonewalled Mike Green.
Yeah.
That didn't quite get as much, credence and didn't get as many retweets.
You know, people like to knock you down. They don't like to build you up. But I forgot, I didn't even think about this last night. Mariota's from Oregon. So he got somebody that could welcome him in and show him the way.
Yeah, a little bit. And not just somebody who by the way, was here. Like Marcus was here about a week and a half or so ago.
Okay.
And has regularly come back. They literally have the Mariota Center. That's where the team works out in here. He's a bit of a big deal in Oregon, you might say.
Yeah, clearly.
A little bit of a thing. And yes, I mean, this is somebody who is actively engaged with the team on a regular basis, to where I'm quite confident that Josh Connolly has spent time with Marcus Mariota.
We're talking with James Crepea here from the Oregonian, knows the Ducks inside and out. Let me ask you this. I happened to see Cliff Kingsbury just in the hallway last night, and he was super fired up. The Commanders' social media channels later pointed out that Cliff left a note on Adam Peters' desk to make sure he takes the Oregon tackle. I don't know how much of the Commanders' offense you've watched, or maybe previously what Cliff has run. What is, you talked about the gifted level of athlete. What is his ability to kind of get downfield, get to the second level, get out in space? Because that's going to be asked of him, and it seems like Cliff thinks he can absolutely get it done.
Yeah, and those are things that hardly foreign concepts here. Again, they do a lot of pulling at Oregon, a lot in their run game, and they do a lot of guard tackle combo and counter and pulls and those sorts of things. And yeah, Josh is one of those guys who they were very, very comfortable having do that. If you go back to the years, now this is Cristobal, so it was before landing in this crew and what he got to play in, but they kind of imposed that, and you saw that with Penei Sewell at the time. Well, Josh really, for all intents and purposes, really followed Penei. There was a slight gap there, but yeah, I mean, stylistically, and yeah, coordinators change and the like, but they were still extremely effective on offense, in particular in the run game as well. This past couple of seasons, we had Bucky Irving a year ago, and now Jordan James this year. Yeah, two really effective rushers, receivers out of the backfield. So getting tackles out in space, particularly, they did a lot in the screen game each of the past 2 years. Believe me, just ask any Oregon fan who wants to see the ball thrown that much more, or any opposing fan base who wanted to discredit their quarterbacks about how much the screen game was there. But for the tackles, that means getting out in space and opening some stuff up on the perimeter. And yeah, Connolly did that quite a bit.
That's wild, man. Were you surprised he lasted until 29?
No. No, and I said, not as a knock, but no, for one, there were quite a few talented tackles in this class. Start there. Two, in terms of, I mentioned the teams who he had formals with or top 30s, the two teams that he had both a formal and a top 30 with were the Texans and the Commanders. So I thought, my own self, that the second half of the first round was when my night was going to get rather interesting, and lo and behold, it did, because Derek Harmon had the same thing, both a formal and a top 30 with the Steelers, and was widely mocked to the Steelers, I think, by everyone with a pulse. So that made sense. And then when the Texans traded, I was like, okay, well, the Commanders are still there, and he had either a formal or top 30 with, I tweeted it last night, but I think it was like five of the final six teams picking in the first round. So I figured that of the teams that were most likely, Houston and Washington were at the top of the list, but it really could have been just about anybody. And then you saw tackles go to several of those teams where, frankly, if Washington didn't take Josh, then I thought that Kansas City was almost a lock at that point.
Oh, okay. Well, I know folks inside the Commanders organization were really worried they would lose Connerly as early as 11 to San Fran. And then they were worried about the Bears trading back up to get him. And they were worried about the Rams, who ended up trading out of that pick at 26. I really wonder what L.A. might have done if they didn't trade out of that and just get an absurd offer from Atlanta to get out of that pick. We're talking with James Kripia here on the Rude Guest Hotline. You can follow him at James, C-R-E-P-E-A. Writer for the Oregonian, covers the Ducks. It's got to be fun covering the Ducks. I mean, that's serious college football.
Are good.
I mean, Oregon doesn't mess around, man. Looking to tonight, obviously Washington clearly scouted the Ducks heavy. Other Oregon players you expect to be drafted, or even what I was about to say, Pac-10 players, or just other Big Ten players that you can't wait to see where they end up tonight.
Yeah, so for Oregon's purposes, this could be another program record weekend. Last year was really successful. Obviously, everybody knows, you know, Bo Nix, led the way, but there were several others in what was a record class, and several really talented players already made instant impacts in the league. That's what could be all over again, and that much more this weekend. So, yes, Harmon and Connerly last night headlines it, but tonight, I think you're going to see Jordan Birch, their defensive end, who went up against Connerly a lot in practice, and they talked about how they made each other better over the last couple of years. I would expect him to go tonight. Could see the tight end Terrence Ferguson go tonight as well. I think it just kind of depends on exactly how much of a run is in the position, if he can get to the third round or not. Receiver Tez Johnson, he's electric. He's a water bug, but he's little.
Yeah,
he's real little. So it's going to come down to which GM is going to put their name on the line with a guy who's under 165 pounds, but runs.
There's a guy in Kansas City that like exceptional speed.
Yeah, that's kind of the big deal. So he's one of them for sure. Their right tackle, Johnny Cornelius, I don't know about tonight, but will definitely get picked up throughout the course of the weekend. Jeff Bassa, their linebacker, their green dot this past year, their defensive leader, really kind of the face of the defense in a lot of ways outside of, yes, Harmon was highly productive. Birch is highly productive, but in terms of the middle linebacker spot specifically, Bassa. And they've got several others as well. I mentioned James before, the running back. Again, they've got a loaded draft class. They expect this to be anywhere from 10 to 12 guys get drafted.
Damn.
Can I ask you just about a couple other, I guess, West Coast Big Ten players that I think are really on Washington's radar that came in for top 30 visits?
Absolutely.
One of them is Femi Oladejo, edge rusher, kind of linebacker from UCLA. Well, what have you thought of his game and how he projects as a pro?
Yeah, I also thought that he was certainly really effective. Now, again, UCLA was amid quite a rebuild.
Yeah.
So you can't just go by team success or even team defensive success, because ultimately that team had talent. And he was at or near the top of the list in that, as far as they're concerned, along with Medrano, one of the linebackers, Schwetzinger, one of the linebackers. They had talent on both sides of the ball, quite frankly. Yeah, they were just amid a really, really big rebuild. But Oladejo was quite an effective player. Now, exactly how it translates and all that, the harder part for the, you mentioned another West Coast guy from the old Pac-12 to now Big Ten. Now, he brought into the Big Ten to where he was productive against legitimate teams, legitimate opponents. That's where the four West Coast schools who joined the Big Ten, that to me was a bit of the barometer. And in terms of when you were doing it in the Pac-12, some of those teams, just calling it what it is, you really didn't know how some of those things translated, because how much of this was stat padding against guys who, frankly, ain't making the league.
Right.
It just wasn't happening.
Yeah.
Well, you know, when you're going up against offensive tackles who are also in the league or bound for the league, you know, who did UCLA play last year? Forget about whether they won or they lost, how the team did. That's neither here nor there. Who did Oladejo play, and where was his production against? Well, he did it, you know, he had four TFLs against Iowa. Now, that helps.
That's a hell of a line.
Yeah. You know, you start there, and you look at other teams that they play. Like I said, they even played LSU in non-conference, Oregon, Penn State. Yeah, like, you know, he had it against some very real teams. So he was one of those guys who I think he backed it up by the fact that he had the production. He didn't just stat pad against the likes of Hawaii.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Like, he didn't just completely tar and feather Rutgers, you know, and that's where he got his numbers from. Like, no, he got it against some of the legit teams in the Big Ten, and that's where, yes, I thought some of his numbers really stood out. Again, among a UCLA defense in particular that did have some talented players, it was just, yes, amid a big rebuilding season for them.
James, I got to say how thankful I am you did not take a shot at my Maryland Terrapins right there. You decided to go after Rutgers, and I appreciate that. One other player that qualifies, Jalen Smith, the corner from USC.
Yeah, I like obviously him.
That Trojans defense was getting torched most of the year, but I don't know what the hell they got going there. Smith has some real skill, I believe. He came to Washington for a top 30. What do you make of his NFL prospects?
Yeah, unfortunately, didn't get a chance to see as much of him because Oregon didn't get to play them, quite frankly. So
that's bizarre.
At least it's so just
how did they not let all the West Coast teams play each other?
Because they added a million teams.
Yeah,
when
you have
an
18-team conference, you know, until they expand the size of the schedule and the number of games the college teams
right,
plays,
right.
It's going to be awfully hard to pull off full blown. They're never going to have a round robin again. That's for sure. But no, like I say, unfortunately, didn't have a chance to see as much of them just because these teams didn't play this past year. But in the past, when I did get a chance to see them, when they played, I believe, the year before. Again, I get talented. But when you're talking about he kind of played, I think, both safety and corner, I think, at times. I think he stood out to me a little bit more at the safety spot, in fairness. At corner, probably, I wouldn't say undersized exactly, but maybe a little bit.
Little 5'10".
But slightly, like I say, not a total knock, but slightly. But more in the safety capacity, from what I can recall of seeing him. Again, the guy who certainly stood out on that defense, like you said, the SC defense has had a little bit of difficulty the past couple of years, though in fairness, that's mainly been on the line of scrimmage more than anything. They've started to improve that, but in terms of more recent years, and now as I'm looking back, he actually didn't end up playing at Oregon even in 23. So like I say, it's been mainly in the preparation for that game. I think I was watching where he had some productive games, but
he's a late round.
Yeah, like I say, I just haven't a chance to see him myself in a while.
Hey, James, thank you so much for the time, man.
Appreciate
it, dude.
Thanks, guys.
All right, that is James Crepia here on the Rude Guest Hotline. Yeah, you can follow him at James, JAMESCREPEA, J-Dogs forever. He was really good. Dude, I mean, damn. Talk about J-Dogs. People are into Josh Connerly out in out in Eugene, man.
Well, we know he may have an opportunity to score a touchdown now.
People get high in Oregon. They're really high on Josh Connerly. When we come back, we're going to make time for some Caps hockey. Carl Alzer.
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. That's why Dollar Shave Club makes the razors, but you make the rules. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Dollar Shave Club products are now available everywhere. Or visit their site right now for 20% off $20 or more. And get your products delivered right to your door. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/shaveup and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more. And remember, whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Since the dawn of Major League Baseball, every player has honed their unique skills.
Judge, drop deep to left.
Ohtani connects and it's gone.
Skeen strikes out the side.
Bobby Witt Jr. throws in time.
Harper does it again.
Witness the hills of the game in ballparks nationwide. Get your tickets today at MLB.com/tickets. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy.
This is Today with
Zoe. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
When things are tough, we talk about it. When there's something to figure out, we dig into it. And when there's joy, we celebrate it.
Because today is where it's all happening. We get the best start to every morning because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show with Savannah Guthrie and Craig Melvin weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
Joins the program. Sandstorm, baby. Time to get hype. A lot of good tonight, man. We got the Caps playing. Game three. Chance to get up 3-0 in the playoffs.
That would be fantastic.
Helping us break down all things Caps Canadiens is our friend Carl Alsner joining the program. Carl, what's up, man? Thanks for making time for us.
Oh, thanks for having me. Always happy to jump on with you boys.
Yeah,
appreciate
dude.
You, brother.
What have you thought of the Caps so far through two games up 2-0 in this series?
Oh, it's been great. It's been really good playoff hockey. You know, I personally am a fan of the low scoring, tight checking, good goaltending games versus, you know, some of the big ones, the 6-2s, the 6-5s. You know, to me, it just doesn't feel like playoff hockey. And so I think we're getting that good stuff from the Caps, Montreal series right now. And I've been saying this throughout the season, but I thought they were built really well for the playoffs, right? They got good depth. They got players that can play D, but can also contribute offensively. And I think we're seeing that right now. I mean, having McMichael score, Ovi obviously chipping in, Strome, guys that you need. But man, I've been so pumped just to see how good the picking up Dubois has worked out, right? This guy has been playing lights out defensively, you know, little things that you know, former players and current players are picking up on that you just need. You need someone that can go out there and shut down and play smart and make those good decisions. And he's doing that right now. So I'm excited about it. Hopefully you can tell in my voice.
I think I can hear it, dude.
The team is in a good spot right now. And you know, the competition is going to get harder and harder. And obviously there's still lots of hockey to play in this series. But the team looks like they're in a good spot right now.
Carl, you mentioned goaltending. How impressed have you been with Logan Thompson?
It's been awesome. Look, you need two things from your goalie, right? You need them to not give up a freebie, and you need them to steal one or two every now and then. And that's happened so far, right? There hasn't been really any easy goal. And he made some crazy saves last game. I mean, he's getting peppered in the third period, as you'd expect when you're up, and he's been able to stand up to the test. So I'm pumped for him. He's working hard. He's battling hard, and that's contagious for the rest of the team. So the great thing is if anything were to happen, they have an absolutely stellar option two waiting in the on the bench there in Charlie Lindgren. So far, so good.
Talking with our buddy Carl Alsner here on the Rude Guest Hotline. You can give Carl a follow at Carl, K-A-R-L, Alsner, A-L-Z-N-E-R. Of course, a 9-year veteran with the Caps. Played 82 games your last year in Washington. I can't imagine playing every game in a hockey season, man. That is really nuts. Obviously, the injury, I don't want to say bug, because it's just been a couple guys and pretty fluky stuff, has impacted Washington here down the stretch. I saw that at Morning Skate today, Protas was not – he was wearing a regular jersey, so not the non-contact jersey – and he stayed on the ice when everybody was out there. Two-parter, when do you think he comes back, and how much of an impact does he make when he comes back?
Yeah, so it's obviously exciting when you see an injured guy get on the ice and be around the team. That's great. But I don't think, this is just my opinion as if I was running this team, I wouldn't bring him back until they needed him and they knew he was going to be better. You know, whatever his percentage of readiness is better than what your other options are, right? Like, is his 80% better than somebody else's 100%? And they need to make that decision themselves. You're up 2-0 right now, so I don't think they're in any sort of rush to bring him in. But you know, if this series was 1-1, if they were down, then yeah, you might want to ask him. You know, how are you? Are you good enough? Right? And the tough thing is wading through that answer, because I'd say 99 out of 100 hockey players are going to not tell you the truth if they're feeling bad, especially in the playoffs. They're going to lie to you. So you have to do your own detective work there and just know the person. But he would make a huge impact. I mean, 6'6", 66 points this season. Like, that's a player you want to have in the lineup and someone who can do damage. And he has grown unbelievably this year. So it would be nice to get him some playoff experience sooner rather than later. And he would make an impact on this whole series. But like I said, it's right now, don't risk it. Don't mess with the lineup the way it is currently.
Carl, I know the playoffs are going on, but you played with Ovi. How impressed have you been with what he's done this year to get the record and all that and still playing at that high pitch 20 years into it?
Yeah, I'm super impressed. I'm like kind of nervous because I don't want him to fall off. I don't want him to get tired. He needs to be able to sustain this for four series. And I think we've all seen, you know, over the last few years, there's points in the season where he has some lulls, and you would assume that that's going to happen at his age and the way he's played the game. But this year he's been so darn consistent, it almost doesn't make sense. So I'm happy about it. I think it's been great for the city. It's been great for the league. I think you're seeing a lot of players on other teams kind of show their fandom also, which is pretty cool. They're cheering for him. They're excited that they've been a part of his journey as well. Maybe been scored against, whatever it may be. I think that's really cool. But this team needs Obi to continue to play at that level for the entire playoffs. You mean go back and look at it through the years. That one year when they won, I mean, him and Cousy both played at a crazy sustained level for every single series, and it's just hard to do. So
absolutely,
I'm hoping that he can continue it. And if he can, then the team's going to be in good shape.
Well, and I thought it was huge, too, to get the game to win without needing not offense is too broad of a word, but without points from Ovechkin, right? Like, you know, you had Strome and McMichael, and because in game one, they were almost reliant on Ovi to get over the hump, especially when it went into overtime. I think when this team was at its best in January, February, kind of before the Four Nations break, everybody was scoring, everybody was a threat, and Ovi was still doing his thing. And he was hurt for a while there, too.
Yeah, I mean, look, playoff hockey, it's different than some other sports where you can have one player that can just do it all for you. You cannot do that. If you go back and look at teams that win, they have players up and down the lineup that contribute offensively, right? You need everyone to play good defensively, but you need to have different heroes, right? Go back to once again to the year that the Caps won. Obviously, Ovi and Cousy played great, but you had Devontae Smith-Pelly that was scoring goals. You had Chiasson scoring goals. You had Lars Eller chipping in, right? Like, you need those players as well. So Ovi can go out there and create the excitement and intensity the way he does by crashing and banging and knocking over everything that steps in his way. And Tom Wilson can do that as well. Perfect. Chip in when they can. But we, in the playoffs, game plan so hard, and everyone is focused so hard on stopping those top guys. So you need your other guys to do it as well. I mean, yeah, it's so few teams that can get away with it. Edmonton Oilers, I'd say, is one of the rare exceptions because they have two of the best players that the game has seen, sure, in Draisaitl and McDavid. But it typically just doesn't happen that way. So the Caps are built for playoffs right now.
Caps are playing really well. Capital One Arena has been rocking.
Yes, it has.
But, Carl, you've played in Montreal. What do you expect from that arena tonight? You know, it's the first home playoff game in a minute for those fans that are hardcore How tough of a place is that going to be to win tonight for Washington?
Yeah, it's going to be different. It's going to be a surprise. The comment from some of the players is, you know, how loud the Capital One Arena has been. Ryan Leonard, I think, said it, and I think he's going to be in for a little bit of a surprise when he goes into the Bell Center. It's, you know, there's a couple extra thousand people in there, so that makes a difference. But the way that the noise picks up is crazy. The only way around it is by jumping out to an early lead and trying to hem them in so that the crowd doesn't quite get into it. Because, you know, you got to remember, these are absolute diehard fans that can get frustrated as well. So if the Caps can play really good, you know, then that'll you're not only trying to beat the team on the ice, you're trying to beat the team off the ice in that arena. So, you know, fingers crossed they can do it. But just for the sake of the series, I mean, it would be fun to see Montreal play some decent hockey so that that the city can continue to buzz. But in the end, I think the Caps are just a little bit too all around for Montreal, at least from what we've seen so far.
So you feel that that's the key, that they have to get out early if they're going to beat Montreal up there?
Yeah, and you need to be so aware of the momentum swings, right? Like you see it in I think it was Ottawa, Toronto, right? Ottawa starts getting going and Toronto can't quite keep up. Yesterday, oh my gosh, the St. Louis Winnipeg game. St. Louis looked like they were playing a junior team for the first 7 minutes of that game. It was absolutely insane, and that's what the momentum of the crowd can do. And Montreal will do that for their team if the team is playing good. So being able to, you know, flush a bad shift, get the puck out when necessary, no easy turnovers. I mean, these are all pretty simple cliche things, but there's a reason they're cliche, because that's what has to happen. So as long as they can play strong and no panic button, I think they'll be all right.
All right, a couple other things I wanted to ask you about, Carl. I know you have a charity event coming up at the end of May. Let everybody know what it's about for the Alzner Foundation.
Yeah, of course. We just actually finished our walkthrough. So this is going to be our second one. It's called Swing Into Summer. And it's a celebrity slow pitch softball game and home run derby. So we do it in Tyson's at the Capital One Field. And it is
cool.
So much fun. So it's, you know, you have some former major leaguers, some World Series champs, Ryan Zimmerman, Adam Eaton played in it last year. They'll be there again this year. We'll have we'll have Ryan Kerrigan that's going to be a part of it, which is super exciting. So some Super Bowl champions as well. And then, of course, former Caps. And I'm hoping that we don't have any current Caps because I hope they're still playing. But if they're not, then we'll have some of those guys as well. So we just do a fun game. It's surprisingly very competitive. Guys reached out after apologizing that they didn't play better and that they weren't in game shape. And I'm just like kind of laughing, because it doesn't matter what the sport is. Everybody wants to compete. So,
wants to win, baby.
Beamish might be available.
Absolutely. I was pissed that my team lost last year. So I'm mad. I'm the one that put this thing on and I didn't get the win. I think I didn't create the teams lopsided enough, so I have some work to do.
You
got to
stack your team, Carl.
All right, I got one other question, and maybe we could circle back as that gets closer to help promote the event. But one last thing, and you may not know this person. Do you know Chris Russell?
Chris Russell from in what world? I know Chris Russell,
the media guy, the radio station guy. We all work with him. He's big, big hockey guy.
We call him the Rooster.
Okay. We call him the Rooster.
Okay. Okay, gotcha.
He almost spilled a cup of hot noodles on Tom Wilson in the dressing room the other night. How do you think that would have gone?
I think it ended up would have been pretty funny. I think Tom is, although can seem intimidating, he also has a pretty good sense of humor. So he probably would have wondered how the heck that even happened. But in the end, it would have been funny, and it would have been a good story. I'm sure the guys would have love talking about it. So I don't think it would have been too bad. But, hey, it would have been nice also if he would have just went for an uppercut or something like that after. But I'm glad that didn't happen.
Just as a good rule of thumb, do you think reporters should leave their cups of hot noodles outside of the dressing room?
Yes. I think I hope this comes across not too rude, but I hope they leave the cups of noodles and everyone grabs a piece of gum or mint as they walk into the dressing room. we all know when we're covering sports, we drink a whole lot of coffee, and when you're 6 inches from someone's face, it's not the nicest smell.
No, it definitely isn't. Are you on Monumental tonight for the game?
I'm taking tonight off for a big softball game happening here in McLean, and then I'll be back for game four.
Make sure you take Kyle Nevin's yard if he's pitching, all right?
I'm going to go and, I don't know, I'm going to give him a leaner on his front door.
I like it. Yo, Carl, thank you very much.
Appreciate you, man.
We'll circle back later in the playoffs.
Great. Thanks, guys. Have a good one.
All right. Carl Alsner played many, many years for the Washington Capitals, been helping the Monumental Sports Network coverage of the Caps. Obviously, if you want to listen to the game tonight, it is on 106.7 The Fan if you want to watch it. Joe B. and now Alan May on the call, Monumental Sports Network. Can't wait for the Caps game tonight. Spoiler alert, I'm going to be watching some of that during the draft. Just letting you know, Landfill. When we come back, we're opening these phone lines up again at 1 o'clock.
Hey, it's B. Mitch and JP here. If you want comfort and convenience wherever life takes you, then you need to turn the Root. With Wi-Fi compatibility, you have full control of your heating and air conditioning system right from your phone. Forgot to turn down the heat before vacation? You can adjust it in seconds. Plus, you'll get alerts that something's not right. These guys are the best. They've installed new systems in my house, and I felt the difference instantly.
And here's the thing, B. I haven't told you this. My Root systems got dropped off. They're in my garage today, getting installed this weekend. I'm fired up. And you know me, I don't sleep very well. I'm a really light sleeper. The best part about this is you've told me time and time again how quiet the systems are.
Yep.
There's no more noisy interruptions. It's just peace of mind. Root's got the variable speed compressor, which ensures precise temperature and humidity control, operating efficiently even in the most extreme conditions. It's comfort and performance perfectly balanced. B, you got to tell them about the savings. I know you cashed in. I will next year. You can get federal tax credits up to 2 G's on heat pumps through 2032. Visit Root.com/federal incentives to learn more.
We're talking about Root, and they are the most reliable heating and air conditioning products in a DMV. And remember, if it ain't Root,
it ain't right.
B-Mitch and Finley, 106.7 The Fan. B-Mitch and Finley is brought to you by Root HVAC Equipment. Head over to Root.com, find a contractor near you, and available tax credits and rebates. R-U-U-D, and remember, if it ain't Root, it ain't right. The Caps is taking on the Montreal Canadiens tonight. Be a great game here, and want to find out from you. Landfill, predictions here. All right, we're going to get our predictions from the guys here on the show, and then we don't have time to even open up the phone lines, but we have Active Image coming. Anything coming up soon, 1-800-636-1067. You think it's going to be a sweep, or you think Montreal gets one?
I know going on the road is tough, but I'm hoping they've kind of there were two kind of close games there for the first two games of the season. I'm hoping that the Caps pulling it out in both of them kind of broke the Canadiens, and they'll just kind of, go away. Go quietly into the night.
I would love them just to go quietly, but I think – so I can tell you something I've learned from – I kind of just loiter. I think loiter is the best word to describe my reporting style at Caps games, because I don't pretend to be a Caps expert, but, like, I am in the locations where the experts are, so I try to just hang around them and see what I hear and learn, right?
Mm-hmm. What have you learned?
These Montreal people, very arrogant. Not necessarily the players, but the people surrounding the Montreal situation.
Mm-hmm.
Apparently, you know the original six in hockey? Let's see if we can name them. The Rangers, the Bruins, the Maple Leafs, the Canadiens, the Blackhawks, the Red Wings. Is that the original six?
I think it is.
Okay. But according to Montreal,
they were the original one.
We are the original one. And so I think there's going to be a level of excitement and loudness at this Bell Center tonight that's going to be pretty difficult.
Well, you
part of
just
me thinks
tell
so. Nobody cares. Just like bang.
Nobody
cares right
if
back.
You were the original one. What are you now?
Right, right. I agree, dude. So, I think that joint's going to be buzzing, though. I think it will be quite loud. I think it'll be fun to watch. I think if LT plays like he did the other night, I think they're going to be in quite good shape.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, he was. He was pucking the other night.
For sure.
Yeah.
If you're looking to get a jump start on your afternoon, Grant and Danny are going to be live out at Pupatella in Chantilly. You can start boozing. I mean, it's a Scotty's Mike and Rebel Friday. You can start right
doing
now.
Whatever you want.
As far as I'm concerned. Just fire at will, man. Here's what we're going to do. I'm going to open these phone lines back up. 800-636-1067. 800-636-1067. What do you want the Commanders to do tonight? It's also Ask B. Mitch Anything. We're going to start the segment with I get to ask B. Mitch a question every once in a while. What do you want Washington to do tonight? Next.